Welcome to episode 167 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. If you enjoy this episode and you'd like to hear a few more, you can find more episodes of The Lab by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. In episode 164, we talked about nuclear-powered aircraft. While I was doing research for that episode, I ran across a lot of information about jet engines in general, and I thought I'd share. A jet engine, or jet propulsion, works by sending a stream of material out of a container to provide thrust. That idea is surprisingly old. As early as 150 BC, Hero of Alexandria, who lived in Egypt, had invented a device called an eolipile. It was a cauldron set up on a pivot with a couple of pipes sticking out of it. A fire would be put under the cauldron, which was filled with water. As the water boiled, steam would jet out of the pipes, and the cauldron would spin. In his notes were drawings for another device, called the aeropile. The concept was to use boiling water and a jet of steam in order to provide flight. More than 1,000 years later, Isaac Newton's ambitions were somewhat more down to earth. He proposed using a steam jet in order to move a carriage instead of horses. As far as we can tell, neither of these gentlemen ever built any such devices. The designs of Hero and Isaac Newton were more like rockets than jet engines. The general idea of jet propulsion is to cause a gas to expand rapidly enough to provide thrust. One way to do this is to burn something. Rockets did that, often burning gunpowder. The problem with that approach is that you have to carry everything you're going to burn with you, including the oxygen, either in liquid form or bound in some sort of chemical. Oxygen is rather heavy. If you've ever hefted home a couple gallon jugs of milk and maybe half a gallon of orange juice, you know that water is heavy. Water is made of hydrogen and oxygen. And even though there are two hydrogens to every oxygen in water, the hydrogen is only one part in 17 of the total weight of water. Most of it is the oxygen. If you're planning to leave our planet and go into space, you have no other choice. You have to bring the oxygen with you. But what if you plan to fly through the air and don't want to leave the atmosphere? There is already oxygen in our atmosphere. Maybe there's some way to use that instead of having to carry it with you. In 1864, a Russian inventor and artillery officer suggested a particular kind of artillery shell. It would burn material inside of it in order to provide extra thrust and give that shell more range. What he described is called a pulse jet engine. Fuel is mixed with air and then allowed to burn. There's an intake and an outtake. The intake allows air with its oxygen into the combustion chamber. Once it starts to burn, a valve is forced shut so that it doesn't leave through the intake, goes out through the outtake instead, providing the thrust. The first working pulse engine was demonstrated in 1907. The problem with the pulse jet is that the valves tend to wear out. In 1908, a French inventor realized that you wouldn't necessarily need a valve. If the intake was smaller in diameter than the outtake, most of the thrust would leave through the outtake, even if you didn't have a valve to shut off the intake. It's an engine with no moving parts. But the thrust you can get from a pulse engine is limited by the amount of oxygen you can get to mix with the fuel before it burns. And they're loud. In 1928, a British cadet, Frank Whittle, brought some ideas to his superiors. In his design, at the front of the jet, are turbines. These spin and compress the air, so there's more oxygen available. It's mixed with the fuel, and then burnt. The volume of the gases, after the fuel is burnt, can be as much as 100 times greater than it was before being burnt. This can give you plenty of thrust. And in Whittle's design, part of that thrust was directed through a turbine. That turbine spinning is what powered the intake turbines and allowed the air to be compressed. Whittle got a patent for his design in 1932, and the first working engine was demonstrated in 1937. Meanwhile, a German engineer began work on his design in 1935. It's fairly clear that he had basically stolen the idea from Whittle. Whittle had trouble getting support or interest. The first jet aircraft flew in 1939 in Germany, just a couple of days before the start of World War II. During World War II, the Pulse engine came back into its own, however briefly. The German V-1 was a pulse-driven flying bomb. The valves it used to shut off its intake weren't that robust, and they would wear out rather quickly. But any given flying bomb, or V-1, was only meant to fly for about 4 hours. Towards the end of the war, the Germans, the Japanese, the British, and the Americans all fielded jet-powered bombers and fighters with varying degrees of success. Early jet engines used a lot of fuel, and the spinning turbines would be deformed by the high rate of spin. High oxygen burning of fuel also caused high temperatures, higher than the melting point of the metals being used. This necessitated various kinds of cooling systems. During World War II, the German fighter planes had engines with a flight life of only 25 hours. Then they'd have to be replaced. After the war, the jet engine came into its own. Advancements in metallurgy and precision manufacture have allowed us to make jet engines that can take high-speed turbine spinning and high-temperature fuel burning. Meanwhile, the old pulse jet engine approach has begun to garner some attention. The approach they're looking at is slightly different. Rather than burning the fuel in pulses, they want it to explode. The difference between combustion and detonation is a matter of speed. Combustion happens slower than the speed of sound. Detonation is faster. If you fire up your backyard grill and run it for an hour or so, you've used a certain amount of energy. If you use that same amount of energy, but it all takes place in a fraction of a second, you won't have a grill left. Using detonation instead of combustion in a pulse engine has the possibility of becoming much more efficient. The velocity of the exhaust is higher, and more of the fuel gets burnt up. A test of a pulse detonation engine was run in 2008. Meanwhile, there have been many other proposals, some research, and a few tests of other concepts. Using nuclear energy to heat the air, like we talked about in episode 164. Using lasers or microwaves to provide the heat, allowing most of the energy to be generated off of the craft. The basic ideas are simple. The devil is always in the details. I'll see you next time.